It was 44 years ago this very day that my father, Michael Healy, was called from this life into the kingdom, which lasts forever. I was 11. My mother still had a lot of children at home. But it is not the sadness of that day that I'm prompted to remember now, but a favorite family story when back in 1916, Michael Healy went to the Bridgeport Railroad Station to say farewell to a friend, and some would say by luck, and others would say by God's grace, Elizabeth Coughlin happened to be at the railroad station saying goodbye to some of her friends. And that was the first time my father ever laid eyes on my mother. And that very day, he turned to a friend and he said, that woman will be the mother of my children. And I'm the 12th of the 13 children who proved his prediction to be true. Jesus tells us in today's gospel that the kingdom of heaven is like a person searching for a perfect pearl. When a person finds it, everything else fades into a kind of nothingness. And there is a passion to lay hold of that priceless treasure. But I would say that my father perceived the priceless treasure of my mother and her love in a wondrous glimpse on the very first day that they met. And in my mother's later years, many, many years after my father's death, many years of loving and tender and courageous service in the kingdom of God here, my mother was disabled with stroke, and so she was always in a wheelchair and needed pretty much constant attention. And oh, how we tried to find the right person who could be with her there when her children had to be at work or at a great distance. And I'll tell you, and some of you I'm sure have had similar experiences, it's no easy thing to find that right person to be with someone you love most. But after a number of disappointments, I called upon an old friend whose name was Margaret, and she came from Ohio to Connecticut and began to live and minister to my mother for the last 4 or 5 years of her life. And she ministered lovingly and tenderly, safeguarding my mother's dignity, bringing a special joy to what could have otherwise been a very frustrating life. And it's very nice for me to know that the word Margaret, the name Margaret, in Latin is Margarita, which in this morning's gospel, if in Latin, you would find for Margarita means pearl. So you might say, my father spotted the pearl of priceless worth with one quick and perceptive glimpse back in 1916. And my mother had the experience of coming to treasure a very special pearl, her Margaret, in her latter days. I remember once at Salve Regina College when Margaret was wheeling my mother from the chapel after a liturgy, and some well-meaning and loving lady came up and kind of oozed and awed over my mother. Oh, Mrs. Healy, she said, you're just so beautiful. You're just so lovely. I would just love to take care of you. And in the simple, direct way, which was her wont, my mother looked at this woman and she said, I have Margaret, and I love Margaret, and Margaret loves me. But both those little family stories came back to mind as I reflected on the deeper, hopefully the deepest meaning of the message of Jesus today. It's about having a vision. It's about seeing things as they really are and treasuring above all else that which really is of greatest worth in the eyes of God. Jesus is speaking today of God's people sharing his vision, treasuring and being willing to sacrifice with all they have and all they are for that which is of true worth. And he tells us that which is of priceless worth is the kingdom of God. And again, by word and deed, he explains to us what that means. It is a people living together in the wondrous reality of creation, recognizing, ever giving thanks for a God who is loving, loving, forgiving, caring parent, and treasuring each other as best we can with the way that God sees us and treasures us. Being, in fact, to the best of our ability, as far as possible, a family, where family values and family members are valued above all else, where anything and everything else that might appeal to us will simply fade away when there is a clash or a conflict between that something and the loving and caring and sharing and serving that is the family spirit, the family style of those who are called to the kingdom. The first reading is very powerful in the light of this gospel. Solomon was, you might say, teased by God. Solomon, what would you have? He was already a king. His name was to be repeated down through the ages, associated with the splendor and the power, the eminence of kingship. But when given the opportunity and God said, Solomon, what would you have above all else? Solomon asked simply for the gift of wisdom, which is to say, to see things, O God, as you see them, to treasure what you treasure, to value what you value as you value it. And God said, to ask that gift is to distinguish you from other people, and down through the ages, your name will be honored, because when given the chance, that's what you asked for. Not wealth, not power, not prestige, but the gift of seeing as God sees. How priceless, how precious is every single person, from greatest to least, in the kingdom here, as we make our way together to the kingdom that lasts forever. Jesus speaks of this great dragnet that is thrown into the sea and brings back all sorts of stuff. Big fish and little fish, and mixed in perhaps all kinds of debris. And he suggests that those who have the wisdom for which Solomon prayed and the vision which Jesus offered will be able to sort those things out wisely and lovingly and tenderly as God would. Since every homily is to reflect somehow or other that added mysterious something that a particular moment in history brings to the new telling, the renewed proclaiming of God's word, I suggest to you that figure of the great net with all the fishes in it might have added meaning for people of today, for we are the people who, through the greater knowledge that modern science brings us and greater sensitivity to the interrelatedness of our ecology, know what foolish people might never perceive, that a tiny little fish like the snail darter may be more important and more vital to our ecosystem than the great leviathan, the whale, that impresses all at the very sight. Jesus suggests to us today that he will, if we will, share a vision of people and things that may make all the difference in the world. He urges and encourages us to really treasure what God treasured when he arranged creation. He challenges us to ask ourselves today, do I really, really, really care more about people always than ever, ever I would care about things? Do I really treasure human relationships and the sacred privilege of being at the service of my neighbor in need more than I would treasure or value instant fame or fabulous wealth and impressive success? And when we're truly honest, though as the people of God baptized in the name of Jesus, we probably all can say at some level here in the intellect, yes, I love God above all things. I try to love my neighbor as myself. When we're truly honest, we realize that very often our behavior betrays our proclamation of our values, and we do sometimes subscribe to arrangements, to plans, to schemes, to structures that actually minimize people and maximize wealth and make human fame a more glorious thing than the love and approval of God, which he gave to Solomon and wishes to endow upon all of us as we walk and live and work and act in the Spirit of Jesus. Needless to say, my thanks to God that Michael Healy had the wisdom and the blessing to immediately love and treasure Elizabeth Coughlin. My thanks to God for that is boundless and unending. But I must continue spending the rest of my life trying to have practical values that really reflect that sense of singleness of purpose, that wisdom to see what is really beautiful and good, which was the treasure handed to me and all my brothers and sisters by our parents who loved each other and loved their children more than ever they loved things or money or power. It is in the midst of my prayer of thanksgiving for that that I offer a prayer of hope and expectation that more and more of the people who say, I really love the Lord, will act accordingly, will honor and treasure and cherish people always, more than any possibility of power, more than any coffers of material wealth, more than prestige or fame or fear of those who are perceived less worthy. I hope that as you sit here listening to me, that your imagination and your memory are calling you to recall a day when you knew in your heart what it was, what it is that you really treasure and you really, really value above all else. And if it be in the Spirit of Jesus, in harmony with the gospel which was proclaimed but minutes ago, then I urge you, give thanks to God through Jesus with all your heart for the wisdom, the kind of wisdom for which Solomon prayed, which has let you see reality as God sees it. And to each of you, I offer the invitation and the challenge. In this very liturgy, to accept from God that purging process that might be necessary in the measure your treasure has been something other than what Jesus offered. I urge you to ask God for the humility the wisdom and the courage to be, in the measure necessary, renewed and transformed today to really care about what God cares for, as God cares for his creation. I urge you in a word, I urge you to ask God to help you and me and all God's people everywhere to treasure what Jesus does, because where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. Of course, this Christian community prays in a special way that Jason will come to treasure, what we celebrate here. It is our prayer and our hope that this baby will grow up with the wisdom of Solomon, which is to say, the wisdom to see God's people and God's creation as God sees them. Bring that child forward.